Hello, Dr. Yapanow. Thanks for joining.
My pleasure. Sorry, I ran a few minutes late.
No worries. So since everybody is here, we can go ahead and get started. Good evening, everybody. I'm Talia, and I'll be running this meeting for our stakeholder or development and stakeholder committee meeting. So to get us started, I just want to let you guys know that this meeting is being recorded. And if there's any public comments, you'll be given 3 minutes for the public comments. And if you do need translation, you'll be given 6 minutes in order to give your public comment. And please state your name before speaking. But for anybody who is joining the call, they don't need to share their name if they do not want to. So Ms. Covarrubias, would you like to go ahead and call this meeting to order?
Yes, I would like to call a meeting today, September 9th. It's 5:04, and I would like to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. We'll move on with our agenda with the attendance and guests. So I'll go ahead and take roll. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Dr. Yapanow?
Here.
Okay, thank you. And we'll move on to the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll make the move.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanow. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanow?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So at this time, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you have 3 minutes for public comments, and if you need translation, 6 minutes. So are there any public comments? Okay, since there are no public comments, we'll move on to the next item, which is announcements from CEO and superintendent and committee members with Alfredo.
Good evening, Dr. Yapanow, Sandra. Hopefully you are well. Hopefully your day is going well. So I don't have anything to add, but I know staff is going to present on two very important items. So with that, I'll turn it over back to you, Talia.
Okay. Any announcements from committee members?
I don't have anything. I don't know if Dr. Yapanow has anything.
I have something, but I'll move it to the full board. Very exciting. But other than that, yeah.
Okay. Thank you all. So we'll move on to the next item, which is the approval of the minutes from the Special Development and Stakeholder Committee meeting from June 3rd, 2021. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanow?
Yes.
Okay. The minutes have been approved as presented. So now we'll go ahead and get started with the information and discussion items. We have two items. The first one being the marketing update, which will be presented by our Chief External Officer, Dr. Brenda Lopez.
I would like to congratulate Dr. Lopez for being promoted to this position. I think it's probably one of the first meetings with us. I wish you well, and that I am sure that you'll be very successful in this role. I believe in you.
I agree.
Thank you so much, committee members. Thank you, everyone who's present on the call today. I look forward to these committee meetings and continuing to get constructive feedback, and also input from anyone who joins our meetings, specifically our board members who have been with Magnolia and have guided and connected us to other partners and resources that continue to impact our success. So tonight I bring to you information regarding our marketing update. So one of the greatest tasks as the Chief External Officer is to look at our marketing strategies that we have currently been using and we have in place, and also analyze what might be some areas of strengths within those marketing strategies, and also identify possible areas of growth and need based on what we're currently using. So if we go to the slide deck, Talia, you have access to that. What I shared with the committee board members, it's a very brief overview of what we're really targeting our efforts on with the marketing strategies. And when we talk about marketing, we're not just talking about focusing on marketing and efforts for enrollment, although that is where we see the biggest impact if we are getting our name across our communities so that they know who we are and they do have confidence in enrolling into our schools. And we're building that trust with our communities. So it's not just for the enrollment piece, but also it impacts development, it impacts partnership, other areas. So in looking at our marketing strategies and activities that we are currently using, so you can scroll to the next one, Thalia. So one of the newest additions when it comes to marketing is a digital marketing platform. And so we are partnered with Larson Communications, and I'll talk a little bit more about what that looks like with our schools. We have invested in this opportunity to target our families and reach out to them across social media through advertisement. And another item is with marketing activities, right, is that one thing we identified early in the role, so I officially started August 1st, and having all of our schools, we did an inventory of who's actually using social media and what platforms don't they have, right? So like we identified MSA 6 didn't have an Instagram, MSA 2 didn't have an Instagram, Magnolia Public Schools didn't have an Instagram. And so we had to create a lot of those accounts. And a lot of it has to do also with the capacity and the bandwidth of managing social media. As you know, those of you who know, how to use social media, any of the greatest influencers, they are constantly uploading content. So you actually have to have calendars of content and how that looks. So it's not just about having an account, but managing the account and being active on that account is very important. So luckily we've had some team players at some of those, at those school sites who have taken the lead in saying, yes, we're going to have this, and this is how we're going to use it. So moving forward with our pace leads, which are our parent and community engagement leads at our school sites, really building their capacity in how we are going to show them how to maximize those efforts across social media. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. But some of the other items you see here, websites, making sure our websites are up to date. Again, this is not just for our visual representation. We also use it to ensure that we're communicating any critical information. During the remote learning pandemic, our websites were the vehicle for communicating to our families what our weekly academic plans were, right? And we also communicated resources through SEL and any mental health resources, especially for our student group. So continuing to make sure that we are updating that information on the websites, and also that it's user friendly. And I know prior to entering into this role, this is the work that the outreach and communications department did a really great job of in updating our websites and making them more user friendly and accessible to our communities. And then you see the traditional marketing strategies that are used to get our names out to the community. Local canvassing, obviously some of these leveraging local business connections. Some of these strategies we did have to put a little bit of a pause on, especially because of COVID guidelines, making sure safety. And so we're slowly reintroducing a lot of these, but aggressively as well, slowly but aggressively. So making sure that we are hosting, if we're going to host meet and greet events, either on school site or virtually, communicating those to our local partners. Also our feeder schools, making sure that we're connecting with our feeder schools. So if it's a sixth grade and sixth through 12th grade campus, that they're going to their elementary schools to see if we can promote any events that their community can be a part of. And then secondary to that, possibly recruit families to then enroll at our schools. So you see, this is these are the activities we're focused on. You can go to the next one, Thalia. So with digital marketing, talking a little bit more about this, actually giving you the process for How does it look? So once we have a family who's interested and clicks on one of the advertisements for on social media or through Google ads that they might come across, what does that look like? So when they click on the ad, then they go to a landing page. All of this work was done with Larson in collaboration with Mr. Soto and Thalia Velasquez, who helped lead that work, where looking at the design, making sure that they have our branding guidelines in place, that any images that are being used are appropriate, really overseeing it. And so then using those advertisements to create those landing pages. And so once they click on the landing page, the family then fills out their information. We get that information. And then we need someone at our school sites, or for example, here at home office, Thalia is helping us with this item. Once they fill out the information, it goes to a leads tracker. And on that leads tracker, then we have our enrollment reps at the school site, or Thalia here at home office, and follow up with that lead. So this was a process that wasn't clearly identified prior to the launch of the campaign on July 1st. So a lot of the work that has been done from stepping into the role is clearly identifying who are the reps gonna be at every school site. So a lot of that, a lot of those structures needed to be placed in this transition time, right? But you also know in July, summer, right? It's summer. So some of the staff might not be available at school sites. So our office managers were really taking the lead with that. So we've definitely strengthened the process, but it's an ongoing process to make sure that as soon as we get any family who fills out that information, from the landing pages, that they need to be contacted. Because as you know, just like any consumer, even though we're not, you know, a business in that respect, but any consumer, when you fill out an information on an advertisement and someone doesn't reach out to you in at least 48 hours, you're going to start to doubt, oh, do they really need my business, or do they really want to make this connection? So a lot of that has to do with making sure that we are tracking that information. Also identifying a tiered system of how do we place the priority in terms of which advertisements we're going to have with social media. So looking at a tiered system with our schools who are in high need of enrollment. And so tonight at the board meeting, I'll be talking about our enrollment numbers and how that plays a role in identifying which schools need more support in that digital marketing push. One thing to also make clear is digital marketing is not in itself the only strategy you can use to gain impact in communities that need to know our name. It's one of them, to make that clear. And then making sure that our messaging is aligned. So again, this goes back to the editorial calendars or other tools that Mrs. Velasquez has been using. And also we had reached out to Larson and said, hey, we want an aligned tool when we're having events, and that our advertisement align with those events as well. One of the items with the content and vision, this is where Dr. Yapanel has also helped in connecting us with someone who was willing to work with specifically one of our school sites, MSA 6 and MSA, and the other school site, MSA 4, to then take the images that we have, and we have media release for those images, to then create a video that we can maximize impact on with digital marketing. So that we're in the second iteration, as Dr. Yapanel will point out later. But that also takes work. It takes work and dedication to take the content and create content that is going to be well received with anyone who then comes across it. Next one, Thalia. So this is an example of the early stages and the dynamic ads that are being created by Larson with our digital marketing imprint. So this is just an example I wanted to show and highlight, but this information was also shared with the board when this was presented as an opportunity as well. But I just wanted to remind you all of what does it look like? How is it going to show up? And you might have actually come across it, because geographically, if you're near one of our schools, it might have also popped up, as it did with my own social media. Go ahead, Thalia. Okay, so when we're looking at tiered intervention, I take this and I smile because I see Dr. Callahan on the call as well. And so we talk about tiered intervention. When you want to respond to an area of need, you want to make sure you set up a path and a plan for how you're going to get to that goal. So this is, you see the image as the little person is climbing up the way, right? So in us making our impact as an organization, first we want to make sure what is our areas of need. And I explained this earlier when we talked about SWOT analysis. So SWOT stands for success, weaknesses, opportunities, or any threats, also known as challenges that we might come across. How do we measure return on investment? So really looking at, for example, if we're talking about digital marketing, you know, of the families that have completed that landing page information, of the ones that have completed, how many have actually enrolled? That's measuring our impact with that, that one specific area. And so when we're looking at the tracker, we've currently had approximately, and it's every day, in the impact of the just the leads tracker that have completed the information on the landing page that goes straight to the tracker, we have 62 families. And of those 62 families, 5 families have fully applied and enrolled. We also have 2 other families that, unfortunately, they applied, but it was too far from their home. So they then withdrew. So those are still potential families, right? So looking at areas like that, also return on investment, how do we measure it? When I asked that, something I was discussing with the team, with Mr. Soto and Ms. Velasquez, is a lot of the times we say, oh, what are our strategies? And we say word of mouth. Word of mouth is one of the biggest strategies, but how do we measure it? How do we measure which families were the ones that spread that word? And if a family came into our school or knows our school, or a partner knows our school because of a specific family, how do we measure that? So looking at some opportunities for how that can be measured, whether it's, you know, incentivizing families who do refer other families to us, and being able to identify them by name. Or one example with our mental health and wellness resource that we had as a partner join on last year with Dr. Jones and the Chicago School of Psychology. She was a former parent. And so she continued to do work with us thanks to MSA7 and the great work that she had witnessed there, because word of mouth, like she loved it. And so she continues to partner with us. So that's one example. Looking at continuing, you know, the tiers, design training centered on areas of growth. So once we identify any areas of opportunity or challenges, then designing training centered on how we build capacity. So I gave an example earlier about our PACE coordinators or any enrollment representative, and helping them build capacity when it comes to customer service. Everybody knows when you go on a school site, anyone related to that organization, they want to leave feeling really great. They want to feel like they are a partner, like they're welcome, especially when we're doing events in the community. So making sure that we are maximizing our impact with customer service at all times, social media and branding as well. And lastly, organize and emphasize a collective effort from stakeholder already connected to our school. So again, this goes back to, if we're talking about word of mouth, how do we maximize the stories, the narratives of people who are actually working already with our organization and partnered with our organization, from students, from families, and staff. You can go to the next one, Dalia. So lastly, diving a little deeper with our tiered response is leverage local community partners. It's important, anyone knows, your warm market is always who you go to first. Who has already bought in, accepted, and trusted that we are a quality organization and we really care about our students and our families and our community. So tapping into that market and making sure that we partner with them and we maximize our effort, whether this is through specific meetings or creating parent ambassadors for our schools to help in this effort. 2, PACE engagement coordinators at every school. So we currently, 3 of our schools do not have a PACE coordinator. So at 2 of the schools, MSA 4 and 6, the office managers are the ones helping us in this role and responsibility. So really having to still manage their duties as office managers in addition to any other duties that we might have coming on. So being able to create opportunities where it's not an addition to the work, it really blends well with their work. And MSA 3 is actively seeking and in the process of acquiring a PACE coordinator. And we will have monthly meetings for our PACE coordinators. Our first one starts September 16th, and we will be meeting to go over upcoming events and also really tapping into our data, such as SchoolMint, that has some great tools in there on how do you get to identify areas in your community where that don't really know about us and they need to know about us. Reports like that, and build a supportive culture for enrollment. Start with parent and student ambassadors, and making sure that everyone is on the same page when it comes to our school as an asset to the community, and then being able to speak that story in whatever interactions that they may have. Go ahead, Talia. That is all I have for you tonight, team, committee. When it comes to marketing, this is just the barely scratching the surface because there's so much work that we're still doing around this area. And I'll make sure to update the board if we don't have a committee meeting before then, right? Yeah, our next one is in December. But really updating you on our efforts. And it really is going to take time when it comes to some of the structures that are in place. But I'm really looking forward to that work collectively with our team, our school leaders, and students and staff.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. So right now we'll go ahead and open it for public comment before moving to our committee members. And would anybody like to give a public comment? As a reminder, you have 3 minutes to give your public comment. You do not have to state your name unless you would like to. And if you need translation, you will be given 6 minutes. If there are no public comments, we'll go ahead and move to see if our board has any comments or questions.
Dr. Lopez, I do have a question. What does SWOT stand for again, please?
Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats is the T, but it can also stand for challenges.
Opportunities. Or challenges.
Correct, yes. And it's a standard analysis that can be done in any area where you're looking to identify a roadmap to where you start first, because you don't want to just assume that something is a problem without actually analyzing, is that a problem or a strength or an opportunity?
Got it. Okay, thank you. And thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. I had a few comments. I'm really happy to see the push on digital marketing because, you know, pandemic has changed many things. Our most strongest point was person-to-person relationships, right? With our students, with our prospective parents, we would just go out to the community and be present at the community events to reach out our stakeholders. But now that's sort of weakened, it's really important that we push through digital marketing. Thank you so much for everyone for the effort on that side. And also, I also like this community events portion, and then it could be related or not, but in the past, I know that we used to have these parent meetings where we expect parents to be physically attend. We didn't have the option of attending remotely in most of the meetings, and turnout was not great. But now that we have them online, I think keeping that option open is really helpful to increase participation from our stakeholders so that we can collect feedback from everyone. So this is probably one good thing pandemic has brought to us. Everybody knows how to use Zoom and other telework tools now. But those are the two things I had in mind. I also really would like to have data on how these efforts are working. Like if we use Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter for to spend our advertising dollars, I want to make sure that we are optimizing them. Like we are putting more dollars on the platforms that we see more return. And so keeping that data is really important. And finally, having a PACE coordinator at every site is really great. But please do support them with appropriate training so that they know what to do.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Yap. Now, last thing to your point about our return on investment or how are our efforts in digital marketing, especially with Larson. So I do have a standing meeting and the team joins me, the outreach communication team joins me, our weekly check-in with Larson regarding our efforts, our impact. And so we are constantly working on to see if we need to pivot when it comes to our areas of need and advertisement. And also in terms of a dollar amount, I did want to share we're about since it started July 1st until now, we on advertisement we did invest $5,000 something hundred. Sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. Amount. And Larson, I have requested that they monthly generate a report regarding our impact. So that is something also that we are doing with them.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. If there are no other comments or questions, I would just like to let everyone know that this is only an information item and discussion item, so no votes will be needed for this specific item. So if there are no other comments, we'll go ahead and move on to our second item 2B, which is the Development Plan and Strategies 2021-22, which will be presented by the Senior Director of Development and Communications, Ismael Soto.
Thanks, Talia. Good evening, board members, fellow colleagues. Good to be here with you all tonight. So today, I'm going to be presenting the 2021-2022 Development Plan and Strategies. It's, in essence, our guide star, our North Star document for Magnolia in terms of our fundraising efforts across the entire organization for the entire year. It is a fluid document, and I'll start with that because it's things change, priorities are updated, or opportunities surface. So, part of the work is making sure that we are listening, and that's key to this entire plan. So, with that, I'm going to go through some of the key areas. So you can go back to the top, Talia, if you don't mind. Thank you. So what I'm going to do is give you all an overview. This is a fairly lengthy document. You all have a copy of it, and I do encourage you just to go through it because it's pretty thorough. What I've done in the document is I provided a table of contents that's going to give you a really good understanding of the entire plan. And so let me just quickly go over the items of the table of contents so that gives you all an idea of the strategy. By the way, this is a yearly plan that we put together. You all received one last year as well, and you'll notice some significant changes this year, more specifically in the areas of our focus areas and our funding goals, which I will get to. So with that, the table of contents covers a couple of items. One is it gives a really high level executive summary of the entire document. So for those folks that just want to get a quick snapshot, that's where it lies. And it gives a snapshot of the entire plan strategy, mostly gives a snapshot in terms of our funding goals, focus areas, all seven of them. And then it gives a strategic strategy in terms of all five strategies that we're going to utilize this entire plan. The second item that section two covers an overview. So it's an introduction to the entire plan. It gives context and gives readers a sense of what they're going to be looking at. One of the things that I highlight in that section is the measures of success, and that although funding goals are certainly a measure of success, so are many other factors. And I want to make sure that I capture that in this document. So that's one thing that's covered in there. Section three talks about assessments of both internal and external environments. And that's important because what we want to do is we want to make sure that we have a very strong pulse of what's going on in the field, why that's important. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And so we have to make sure that we are very keen in terms of what's happening out in the field, but also how are things internally in terms of our own capacities and et cetera. So that is what's covered within section three. Section four gives an overall strategy. This kind of breaks down how we go about implementing all the different plans that are stated throughout this whole document. And then we move on to section five, our funding goals. These are key because it gives us a target to aim for, right? And within those goals, I break it down into tiers, which I'll cover in my presentation a little later. And it's broken into three categories. Section six covers our focus areas for this year. I define them. And these are based on several factors. One is we looked at the action plans, for example, from like the academic department and others. Also got a pulse from just having multiple meetings with various folks at the home office and also the school sites, and inclusive of surveys, which I'll get to in a second with our school site leaders to put those focus areas together. Section seven goes to cover measuring our success. So, you know, how we're able to get to meet those targets and define them. Section eight is our calendar. This is probably the most fluid section of the entire document, all 26 pages worth, because things are constantly moving and shifting as priorities shift and as opportunities present themselves. So this document is just what you have in this plan is a high level version of it. There's an external version that I use to really, really get granular for the calendar, both in all four categories, quarters one, two, three, four across the entire business year. And then lastly, just some recommendations for next year and looking ahead to really develop, pun intended, the development portion of the outreach and communications department. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and dive right in. So let me just quickly go, Talia, if you can go scroll down just a little bit more. Fantastic. There we are. So I'm going to just quickly go over the highlights of the executive summary. So what we're aiming to do this year is to focus on, if you can scroll down just a tad bit more, Talia, perfect. Is seven focus areas that we've determined would be priorities that institutionally that align to many factors, including our new Magnolia Portrait of the Graduate, which really kind of puts a five-year lens outward facing, right? And so focus area one is really, and these are in order of priority, mental health support. I won't get into the granular parts of that, but there's a lot to be done there in the area of mental health support and finding resources to do, help in that area, specifically around, impact that's been caused by the pandemic with both our students and also our families and our staff. So it's broad ranged. Focus area number two is the academic improvement. And that one actually has many different categories. So what you'll see, and I'm just scrolling down in my longer, if you have the actual plan in front of you, what you'll see is the more detailed version of that. And you don't have to scroll down to that, it's not actually in the board report, but academic, here it is. Okay, so I wanna actually go into the interest areas of this session because this is one of the key, obviously we're an academic organization and I wanna make sure that I at least state these as part of our focus areas. So areas of interest include, as identified by the action plan developed by the academic department this year, instructional materials, technology, broad course of study and standards-based curriculum, PD for high quality instruction, designated and integrated ELD programs, support for students with disabilities, digital literacy and citizenship programs, physical education, activity and fitness. Those are the eight categories, subcategories within academic improvement. So I do invite you again to read the entire plan because it really does break it down in terms of the services that we're looking to fund and support with additional funds, external funds. The third one is parent support programs. So really looking at elevating the work we're doing with our communities, specifically with our PACE program. And it's great that we're able now to have Dr. Lopez on board to be able to elevate that work with PACE and with our school site leaders to really, again, get really prioritized around engagement, advocacy, especially when we know that there's going to be a lot of upcoming events and or areas in which we're really going to need our parent support, whether it's local elections, which are always very key, or advocacy for our renewals, which we know we have a 2-year pause, but it's going to be to take some time and runway to really build up the supports again. And I think, as mentioned by Dr. Lopez, our ambassador programs and parent champion programs. So this is a key area. Key area number 4 is facilities, site improvements, sustainability, and solar energy. There is an influx of facilities supports, either from the federal government, state agencies, or even local agencies, to really help to improve facilities for multiple reasons. One, obviously, immediate reason is to ensure that our students are safe and that HVAC, plumbing, et cetera, is up to code, even above code, to ensure the safety of our students. But one example is one grant specifically I'm working with the facilities department is a CalShape program that has 2 focus areas. One is plumbing and the other is HVAC. So these are grants that are constantly coming down the pipe, and we are prioritizing them at Magnolia. Focus area number 5, college and career pathways. So this is multi-pronged. This could be, for example, dual enrollment programs, college and career readiness programs, ROP programs, CTE programs, and GATE programs. Those are the areas of interest within that focus area. Arts are still in interest. We obviously are still trying to be very purposeful about the A in STEAM, not STEM plus A. And so because of that, we're looking at ways to utilize the arts and with additional funding to look at areas such as SEL and arts intervention, expanding on our arts TOSAs, we live in a world of acronyms, teachers on special assignment. That's an area that we've focused on across Magnolia. So TOSAs and various disciplines, whether it be math, English, in this case, it'd be arts. So expanding that, arts integration, of course, performing arts residency programs. So the last one is general operating support. Usually the best type of grants and usually the most difficult to attain, because these are the ones that have no strings attached and are very unrestricted, which are always the best, but again, very difficult to attain. However, those are the ones that give us the most flexibility to spend on areas such as marketing, areas such as legal, things that typical grants don't allow us to explore into. So that is, in essence, the executive summary. Talia, would you mind scrolling down? Right there. These are the strategies that we're going to implement for this year. So part of, in terms of how we're going to fund those focus areas, correct? So strategy 1, donor relations, really high level. I'll give you context. What we aim to do there, let me just make sure I'm on the right page. We want to make sure that we identify prospect donors first. We then want to qualify them and look at their giving potential. What is, how much can they give? Really do the research there. And this is for either individual donors, corporate donors, or even larger scale grants, right? We want to cultivate them. And cultivation basically means you want to treat a donor like a whole person. This is where you're really working that relationship, looking to see this person as an individual and not always as just a checkbook. So this is the part that takes time, pun intended. We got to cultivate, right, those relationships. The next part of the cycle is really looking at solicitation. And actually, let me back up a little bit, because the cultivation piece, in the respect of the entire cycle of strategies, is the most extensive, because this is where we look at acquiring new donors and in multiple ways, whether it's crowdfunding or whether we're looking at doing on something that I've recommended for even our board members, something that I like to call friend raisers, where we invite close circle friends and folks that are have giving power to be able to cultivate them and build those relationships, because the number one thing in fundraising is relationship building. And then looking at acquiring not just major donors, but also mid-level, even low-level donors. Why? Because we want to give, start getting people into the habit of really giving to Magnolia. We don't have a long track history in development, like many of our CMO partners. So we have to begin to do that work, connect with them, whether it be through social media campaigns, mailers, ads, all the work that we're doing within this department, making introductions with our CEO and our board members, with key individuals. That's going to be key. Utilizing this committee, right, to activate philanthropic networks, hosting gatherings or attending major events with myself, our CXO, CEO, et cetera. And also looking at opportunities, whether it be with Latinx philanthropists, looking at ways to collaborate with other partner CMOs. We've had many of those conversations, and looking at even partners such as the Ally Coalition. And really, this is something that's really key. It's item number six in the cultivation, which is increasing our visibility. That's key. We like to call it just our brand ID or name ID. We are very purposeful about that. And one of the reasons, one of the ways we're going to do that, for example, is when we do the launch videos for the Portrait of the Graduate, which is coming up this month. We're going to do a live stream, Facebook Live, to launch our first of seven competencies for Portrait of the Graduate. And how we're going to do that is have a live Facebook with Alfredo and an invited guest to share this amazing accomplishment for Magnolia. But in doing so, we're going to invite very strategic people to join those Facebook Lives. And for me, in this department, I'll be inviting folks that we are cultivating. Also, we're going to be inviting folks that are already current donors that we want to have be continued donors. So this is very purposeful work. And again, building stronger relationships with government representatives, agencies. This is inclusive of like supervisorial districts, et cetera. We are actually gonna be applying soon to a grant in one of our local districts where many of our schools reside. And so building those relationships with their education deputies is gonna be key. That's some of the work that I'm doing as well. We then get into solicitation, which is really, that's where we ask, asking for the donation. And then stewardship, which is the process. Once someone has given, how do we keep them connected? How do we keep them part of the organization? And how do we encourage them to be a multi-year giver, right? So that's really the process in terms of donor relations. The strategy too is social media. Social media is gonna be very much tied to the work that we're doing as the OC department. In terms of like the digital marketing, but it's going to be very much aligned to the digital strategy that Talia Velasquez has put together and designed very carefully. And so one of the ways that we're going to leverage this as an example is, and more recent, is going to be with our school in Northridge, which is MSA 7. We're going to be launching their individualized annual fundraising campaign in 3 weeks. And in doing so, we're going to be extending the reach of the school with more people through our own social media channels and creating very strategic messaging, getting their campaign out. We had much success with that last year, and I'm really glad to see Ms. Mira Rao over at MSA Santa Ana, because in their Together We Thrive campaign last year, and I'm sure she can attest to this, it was very strategic and very successful in terms of the reach that we were able to get with the support, collaborative support, I should say, with both the home office and our school site. So that was really key. Strategy three, again, individualized MSA fundraisers. We're looking to double at minimum our fundraiser campaign support with our MSA schools. Last year, we did MSA Santa Ana and San Diego with great success. This year, we are already launching with MSA 7. Our goal is to have at least 4 to 5 schools, but if capacity allows, add more. Strategy number four is individual giving program. We've learned through research that upwards, if not more than 70% of nonprofit giving has been due individual giving programs. So I want to make sure that we're building those relationships and being very strategic about those programs with that strategy. And then really important in strategy 5 is conveying the impact to our donors, especially during these times of change in COVID. And so how we're going to do that is through several ways. One, like the one I just shared with our Portrait of the Graduate, year-long video series. We're going to do a video series of all 6 of the competencies. The first one being adaptability, which we're going to launch this September. Other ways we're going to do that is through what we call the org-wide Magnolia Minute newsletter, and also our org-wide newsletter that we send out to our external partners, inclusive of elected officials, foundations, et cetera. So that's really key and important to the work we're doing. Talia, would you mind scrolling down? Okay, I've already kind of gone through the overview, so you can keep scrolling. Thank you. All right, this is important. All right, so I have a quick time check. I'm at 5:49, so I'm going to try and go through this part fairly quickly. So as I mentioned previously, it's important that we take a really good pulse in terms of what's going on out there. Really quickly, high level, there's both good news and there's bad news. However, overall, what we're hearing is that, yes, there's a strong economy that's generating good, that's really generally good for raising money. However, I mean, and most of the signs are pointing towards a booming economy, but there are looming worries of an uncertain impact, especially with this new Delta variant, right? Could you keep going scrolling, Talia? The good news is, however, you can stop right about there. The stock market, again, is showing much growth. There's also signs, and this is pulled directly from the Chronicles of Philanthropy. There's the general sense is that right now there's a shift in philanthropy. And one of the things that I wanted to mention was that bullet point that reads, or what is this philanthropic community saying right now? And what they're saying is that right now what they're really trying to do is shift the method in which organizations, especially nonprofits, receive grants and have to report out on them. They're making a greater commitment to unrestricted funds. If you've been listening, you heard me say that the general unrestricted funds are the most difficult. Well, organizations are making it easier for organizations like us to be able to get those. And also they're pledging to get more flexibility in terms of reporting. And the most important thing that I should have underlined this is that they're trying to make these changes permanent. This is huge for philanthropy because it's making it easier for organizations our size that does not have a 15-member development team to be able to focus on attaining more funding versus reporting, which is typically a big hindrance to this work. Could you keep on going, Talia? I can touch on any of these points in the end because I do want to leave some time for Q&A. But in essence, the internal environment, you know, one of the things that we're doing very purposefully is making sure that we are partnering and collaborating collectively with our leaders and the fundraising programs that we have across Magnolia. And one of the ways that we did that was we collected survey from our school leaders and made sure that it was captured in this plan. This is very different than what was in last year's plan. And it was very purposeful because we wanted to hear from them specifically, you know, what are the things that you feel your school is strong at? And more importantly, what are opportunities that exist in your opinion at your specific Magnolia school that you feel would deepen the impact to the community that you serve? And so we wanted to capture the voice of our principals, and that was a big part of the internal environment assessment that we did. Externally, Talia, if you can skip forward, please. We can skip over this. I actually reviewed this last year in terms of our, go back up a little bit, right there. There's some challenges. We're a small department and other CMOs have bigger departments and they have bigger budgets. However, cup half full, we do have a big advantage. And that is, we like to call it the Magnolia way, right? We collaborate. And we have a very collaborative approach with our MSA principals, the OC department. And I think that's really important in terms of capturing the strengths, growth areas, and opportunities. That is very different from what I've seen from other CMOs, where the development departments are very siloed, and they have, you know, goals and they just do their work. It's very purposeful with this department to work closely with all departments as well, inclusive of the academic department. Finance is very key. IT, we work closely in terms of some of the grants that they're seeking for technology needs. Accountability is very important as well. We work closely with some of them to advance some of the priorities. But again, these are all aligned to our Portrait of the Graduate, which again is also game-changing. We've allowed ourselves to reinvent ourselves through Portrait of the Graduate. And again, our family approach. So we draw on alumni, we draw on parents, board members, even our own vendors and contractors to really inform this work. And again, that's very different from the work that I see happening at other CMOs. So although we're small, we're mighty, and we take a very different approach. And I think that's gonna be one of our advantages. Tilly, can you move on? I think we can skip some of the sections. We've already talked about the overall strategy. Donor relations, I've covered that already. Keep on going. I've covered the approaches. Right there, if you can quickly just stop. I just want to highlight it. If you can scroll back up just a smidge. Right there. So this is part of the survey results that we received. So you'll see some of the school sites listed and some other focus areas. This is just one area that I captured. Again, we don't, these are public documents. Some of the results are obviously housed internally, and it's gonna be really helpful and really reaching some of the individual school growths. MSA San, for example, has a lot of facilities growth items. They're looking for shade for their playground as well as the big concrete area to be able to provide outdoor space for their students, and also VAPA, increasing a VAPA focus for their school. So these are things that were really helpful as part of the survey. Can you move on, Talia? So the, you know, you can, you'll see and all the different strategies if you have time. I know I don't have time today to review every single individual. Stop right there. I think I'll probably end here and then open it up to some questions. I'm sure, again, I don't have time to cover the entire thing. I try to give you all as much of a synopsis in the board report of the entire 26-page document. However, I want to give some context. So we are growing. As a department, we had a $213,000 goal last year. Really was our first year of implementation after a really deep infrastructure build that included our grants management portal, everything, telling our story through our boilerplate information, collecting financial data, very, very extensive infrastructure building. This year, with the growth and momentum that we have and with the expansion of our department bringing on a CXO, and obviously very important, the creation of this development and stakeholder committee, we've upped the ante and we have a goal this year of $500,000, an increase of $287,000 from last year. We do have some stretch goals in there with if we do build the right momentum, and I do see momentum building our way as we're starting to get into quarter one really deeply, and then we're doing assessments of funds coming through the state that have larger ticket win potentials and funding associated with it. Really quickly want to touch on the three fundraising tiers, and then I'm going to hand it back over to Talia. I apologize, this is a big document, but it really does cover the gist of that large plan. These are the three fundraising tiers that I mentioned I would cover. The first one is institutions, and it has three categories underneath it: foundations and organizations, corporate giving, and government supports and grants. So this includes like federal funding, local government. You heard me talk earlier about supervisorial discretionary funds that we were going to be seeking. That would be like city portion of local government. State would be like state grants that we see coming through like the governor's office. So we break them up so that we can track them and align them. In the actual plan, you're going to see individual sections and individual funding goals we have for each individual section. So that $500,000 is broken up. The next one is individuals. I mentioned how important that's going to be. So this includes board members, alumni, which we're going to focus on a lot, faculty, staff, friends, and parents. You know, according to Chronicles of Philanthropy, which you heard me reference, about 79% of all charitable gifts came through individuals. So we're going to do a big focus on that this year as well. Keep scrolling down, Talia. I think we get to the last point. keep going. Actually, that gets into our performance goals. So, yeah. So again, we're going to increase to 500,000 from where we were last year. And I've broken it down in essence, it's into that performance goal by category. And yeah, so we have, again, some lofty goals. It's a lot as a grown organization, but we do anticipate that this trend will continue to move upward with the next step. So if we can end there and then I'll stop, I promise. And we have a board meeting in 2 minutes. So would you mind going to the last item where it says next steps? Right there, a little more further up. So, you know, we've laid out some recommendations and I won't read them, but a lot of it is really working collectively very closely with our CEO, CXO, to partner with this committee here, external supporters, also to look at working with the committee to identify those 7 points down below. Tavi, if you can scroll down just a smidge. I don't think I listed them here. I'm so sorry. They're in the actual plan. Dollars raised, renewed donors, new donors, donor cultivation. What are grant opportunities out there that we might have missed? Philanthropy events and opportunities that we can jointly attend. Fundraising goal updates. These are things that you'll see quarterly moving forward during these committees. So we'll reference this plan and we'll give you updates on all of those bullet points that I just mentioned. And you know, the further reaching goals is really to look at expansion of this department to really look to deepen research, deepen donor relations, the technology that we use. So I invite you again to read the entire plan. I apologize, I had to go through this fairly quickly, but at this point, that concludes my presentation. Thank you for your time. I know we have a board meeting coming up. I'll hand it back over to Talia for any Q&A or questions or any thoughts or reflections. So thank you.
Thank you, Ismael. So if anybody would like to have a public comment regarding this item, you can go ahead and speak now. You'll have 3 minutes. And if you need translation, it would be 6 minutes. So right now would be the time. If there are no public comments, committee members, do you have any questions or comments for this specific item?
Yes, very, very quickly. Thank you so much, Ismail. This is great document, great work. I'm very excited, as I mentioned many times before, about this committee and the potential that we can bring to Magnolia as a whole. I like the focus areas. Those are right on target with what the organization's priorities are. On the strategy portion, I just had one more comment. I think there are much smaller grants that our teachers can apply if they know how to. So empowering our staff members to do some of the work for you could be really beneficial, Ismail, like providing some short trainings to them. Because I mean, those are not too difficult, but I mean, if you try to run after all of these, as you said, you have a very small department, just distribute the work, use the workforce that you have in obtaining more focused grants. I love Portrait of a Graduate. It's really one of the staple works that Magnolia, like one of the, I always complain that we do so much, but we tell too little. So this is, I think, a good step towards telling some more of our story in an effective way so that we can tell our story in the right way. So I'm really excited to see that up and coming. This is also great work. I am happy to support you and the team in any way I can. I am networking like crazy with all the VCs and other stuff so that we can really use them hopefully in the future for our purposes. And I am also networking with a lot of individuals that are very well known, and I have plans to use them to help our students. But I will email you guys on that front. This is some other project I have. But I'm here to help and support you in any way I can. Reach out to me with anything if I'm able to help. Thanks again for this work. I really appreciate your hard efforts and hard work.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanow. And to Dr. Lopez's chat point, we're already on it. The staff empowerment, we are sharing resources with our principals to share with our teachers. So 100% on it. I unfortunately didn't capture in the plan, but like I said, this is a fluid document, so it will be part of the plan.
Great. If there are no more comments or questions, this is, as a reminder, this is just an information item, so no action is needed from our committee members. So there's nothing else. Ms. Covarrubias, would you like to go ahead and adjourn this meeting?
Yes, I want to say thanks to everybody, and I'd like to adjourn the meeting at 6:03.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Everybody, I put the link to the regular board meeting, so you can go ahead and transfer over.
Thank you for time, Casey.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for being on. Thank you.